Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. We have just got a great Sunday school program going. We've got Sunday school teachers that are setting aside time for their week to study Scripture and to reflect upon God's Word, to pray, and to seek out the Holy Spirit, and enabling them to come and to share just some terrific Sunday school lessons that are going to really hit you right where you're at and enable you to be able to just grasp God's Word and to be able to comprehend it at a better level, that you might be built up in your spirit and that you might have growth in your personal life and a conforming unto the likeness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to invite you to come be a part of our Sunday school. It's 10 a.m. every Sunday morning, and we're ready. We're ready, and we have a place for you to be able to make friends and to be able to learn more about the Lord Jesus. And then at 11 a.m., we have a worship service every Sunday morning. We have a traditional worship service with a great emphasis on the Word of God. We want to place a lot of importance in God's Word. We believe that that's how that God speaks to us today, and we also adhere to the fact that the Holy Spirit is in charge of our church services. Our altar is open at every moment of the church service from 11 a.m. till 12:30, 1 o'clock, whenever it is that we're done. It might be 11:15. We don't know. God's in charge, and we're sure going to follow the Holy Spirit. And so that's 11 a.m. every Sunday morning. You're invited to both of those functions. We also, for those of you that might want to come and attend with us, Wednesday evenings, at every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., we come together for Bible study. And we've been taking some time out to look through the book of John. The book of John was written so that men might believe, and I'm very adamant about the fact that the gospel is not just some kind of a news that you share with somebody that is going to enable them to come to terms, that the gospel is something that will open up the doors of their heart and enable them to believe and to accept and to adhere to what Jesus has taught. But the gospel is good news for the man that's been saved for 50 years. The gospel is still good news for those of us who are not only have been saved, but are in the process of being saved. Or we are conforming more and more unto the likeness of our Savior, the one the good news is all about. So we want to invite you to that as well. We've just got some terrific things going on here at Rallets, some exciting things, and every one of them deal with the development of your spiritual state, that you might come into a position where your entire life is wrapped around the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells inside you, and He's moving you, and He's desiring to do something with your life. I don't want you to see your look back at the end of your life and to say, "I've wasted it all." What a tragedy it would be for you and I to look back. Let's say the good Lord blesses us and we live 80 years, and we're sitting there on our 80th birthday, and we look back over the past, and there we say we've wasted a lot of years. I love what John Piper, I've heard him quote before. He says, "We have but one life, and it passes so fast. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only what's done for Christ will last." I know we're coming up on the end of the week here. I certainly just pray that God might be able to continue to move us and bless us. And I want to encourage you to find a church to go to this Sunday. I believe if your faith is as strong enough to get you to heaven, is strong enough to get you to church. If it's not, then you really need to do some soul searching. You really need to do some understanding. Guys, I'm telling you, church is important. Church attendance is vital. It's strategic. It's beyond understanding what a wonderful church family, somewhere that you can go and you can get involved and you can make friends and you can be encouraged. That is of the utmost importance if you want to experience this Spirit-filled life that the Bible has called us to experience. It stokes your flame. It moves your fire. It helps you to get encouragement. It helps you to find so many other things that you're not going to find out there on your own. Get in a church. Quit spending all the time on Facebook and the internet and the lake, and all that stuff will cause you to stand at the end of your days and say, "I've wasted my life." But what you do for Christ is an investment with a tremendous return. I want you to turn with me, if you would, in your Bible, if you're able. Maybe you're driving. I don't want you to do it then. but if you're able, we're going to look at Romans chapter 6. And we're going to look at the first six verses. This is something we shared this past week at Rallet's. I want to share it with you again. Romans chapter 6, Paul the Apostle is writing to the Roman church. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now watch this verse, verse 6. Romans 6, verse 6, I think is very important for us. This is a sort of our focal point. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We should no longer be slaves of sin. Now, this past week, I was being bombarded with visual examples of slavery. Probably not the kind of slavery that many would even notice. And certainly not the kind to which the slave would admit that they are a part of. There is a form of slavery to which the one being enslaved is not even aware of what's going on. They're not even aware of the fact that they are in bondage and have been shackled by these things that are attempting to prevent them from living their lives the way God intended their lives to be lived. There is a slavery that captures a person with chains that feel good to the slave. They feel good, but even as surely as an Egyptian taskmaster, they are beating and tearing and killing the one they possess. I was really shocked when I had this laid on my heart. We here at Rallet still believe that sermons ought to be laid on your heart. We believe the Holy Spirit speaks to the pastor, to the preacher. Maybe it's to a congregation member with a testimony that day. I'm still waiting for the moment. I've heard of them. I love when the old preachers recount to me the stories of times when they came and they stood in the pulpit and they asked for a testimony and a person over here to the left began to testify and right after that, another person said they had something on their heart, and that began to bleed over, and all of a sudden the congregation just began to be swept away by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God began moving. I've heard men tell me of times when they're in the church services and people will begin to testify, and as they were testifying, no music, nothing being done, as they were just testifying and pouring their heart out before God, they were praising God for the good things in their life, that others would begin to make their way up to the altar and a prayer service broke out, and people were praying, and people were testifying, and maybe somebody over here in the back corner had a song laid on their heart, and they began to sing, and before you know it, they'd been there an hour and a half, and the preacher had not got to say a word, but the Spirit of God moved even further and even greater than any preacher could ever take it. Preachers, I'm telling you today, if you're so caught up in letting your pulpit and keeping it in control and having the church services under your thumb, then you're never going to see a great move of God. It's when you and I begin to put ourselves on the back burner and we begin to understand that we are not in charge of anything. Who are we to think that we would have any say in a movement in the Spirit of God? Who are we to say that we might have anything whatsoever to do with controlling God's Holy Spirit? He is far above us. He is far more magnificent than we are. He is holy. And I'll tell you, if we really want to see revival begin to sweep across our churches and across our congregations and into the families that we're called to serve, it'll be when we allow the Spirit of God to control every aspect of our ministries. Every part of what I want to do has to do with me giving it over to God and letting God be the one that takes control. I was shocked when I thought about the slavery of control. Churches today are enslaved by desiring to control what goes on in that church. There are individuals in almost every congregation, you can find them. I'm not preaching just on Rallets. I'm not just preaching on the churches that I'm familiar with. My guess is there would be those sort everywhere that a person went. And they are enslaved to the fact that that's the way they've always had church in that spot. That's the way we've always done these things. We don't want to get too far off base. We don't want to get too far out of the way. There are churches today that are enslaved to the fact that that a person can't even be saved unless it's revival. There are churches today that are enslaved to the fact that we don't want anybody bringing a Bible into our congregation. You bring a Bible into one of our services and we're going to sit there and stare at you like you've done something wrong. There are others that say that they're so enslaved by the fact that a person can be saved by walking up and shaking the preacher's hand that if you say something about laboring in prayer in order to be saved, then they're just automatically going to throw you out. I refuse, and I hope you do too, to be put into a box and to be labeled by anything. I'm going to stand on what the Word of God says. If it's in this Bible, if it's put by the Holy Spirit in there, that's what you and I should follow. There are others today who are enslaved and they don't even know it. The issue of slavery is dealt with all over the Old and the New Testaments. History shows us that men have always tried to capture and to control other men. The very fact that we have so many different churches, so many different ways of doing things, is a very testament to that. The way that God has ordained the churches today is that Christ is to be the head. Any other master than Christ is idolatry and a slavery that God would not have us to be part of. While many are shocked by the idea that one man would to seek to capture and to control another man or another group of people, it seems to me that there are a lot harsher masters than human beings. There are a lot harsher masters than human beings. If the history of man enslaving man seems to belong to you, we look back over the course of human history and we see this from long, long ago. Even in the Old Testament, we read about Abraham and Abraham had slaves and he had men in his... And that's a long time ago. And we think, boy, what a long, illustrious history this problem of slavery has. This thing has gone way, way back. Well, I'll tell you, it's not nearly... One man enslaving another man does not have nearly the history that true slavery has. If the history of man enslaving man seems long to you, I want to remind you of a scene many, many years even before that, when a beautiful young woman standing in front of a knowing husband with her hand extended forth, holding a piece of fruit that they both knew that their Creator had told them not to touch. Can you imagine, dear friend, the joy that was in hell as Adam raised that fruit to his lips and the chains of sin clamped around his soul? I'll admit to you today, I believe the very moment that mankind rebelled against God is the very moment that slavery began. And since that time, Satan has tried to use the chains of control and rebellion to wrap around the hearts of individuals to prevent them from living the lives that God had asked them to live. Friend, you were created to worship God. And if something besides God is mastering your heart, is mastering your soul, is controlling your life, then friend, you are out of the will of God. God. You might be a Christian today and you're allowing other things to master you beside the Holy Spirit. You need to repent of that. You need to get away from that, and you need to ask God to forgive you and to set you back on a solid rock so you can once again be useful to the kingdom of God. You keep messing around. You keep allowing other things to control your life, and God will use any means necessary in order to gain your attention. He will not have His children chasing idols. He will not have others put before Him. God is a jealous God, and God will not tolerate other things in front of Him. Maybe you have never called Jesus master of your life. Maybe you have never asked Christ to come into your heart. Maybe you've never confessed the rebellion that you have found in your soul. Maybe you have never called Jesus master and Lord. You need to do that today, because if you have any other master in your life besides the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a place prepared for those who have rebelled against God. And friends, that place is called hell. And it's real. It's a reality. And being enslaved to anything other than the kind Master Jesus will find us in that place for eternity. Enslaved. You think about that word for a minute. Enslaved. Your will, your desires, your freedom, gone. Everything you do is the wants of another. You can't decide on anything for yourself. You wake up, you eat, you sleep, you take breaks at the command of someone else or something else. It seems as if we are all susceptible to being enslaved. I myself would be a hypocrite if I tried to stand and say that I was a completely free man. So my aim is not to be like the preacher who rails against drinking. Alcohol is killing us. Alcohol this, alcohol that, and being a slave to alcohol, and you can't get anywhere on account of alcohol. And then that same pastor can't wait to get out the back door to smoke a cigarette. Or even worse, they can't wait to get out of services so they can get down to the local buffet 30 minutes before the other churches do so they can have the best food. Slaves. Slaves to things other than Christ. Slavery comes in many forms, and there are few who are immune to all forms of it. My hope is to encourage you to enslave yourself to a master who is kind and compassionate and desires to give you more than you could ever gain by being free. You see, dear friend, there is a kind of enslavement that's better than freedom. Freedom itself can enslave men when the pursuit of that freedom prevents or controls that individual. I look around me in this world and I see people enslaved by innumerable number of addictions. Addictions that do from the inside what taskmasters or slave owners used to do from the outside. An addiction works through convincing the mind that it cannot avoid or go without these things. It controls a person to the point that it prevents other activities that would actually be better for that person. Slavery to drugs, legal and illegal, is a real problem in our society. I myself have seen a good friend nearly killed in a four-wheeler accident. He went to the hospital for months, where they kept him on a continuous pain medication. And even after his body healed, his mind became enslaved and the struggle began. He was bound by that drug. Now, some would tell me that a Christian can't have experiences like this. But it's been my experience that even as a saved person, there are periods in my life where I've got hard struggles with sin and its attempt to enslave me. And if you think, well, Brother Dwayne, that's because you're inferior, then why don't you pick up your Bible and you read Romans chapter 7 and you tell me that Paul the Apostle was inferior? If you think that sin is not trying to enslave Christians, if you think that Satan is not trying to wrap his mangy, dirty, filthy, lying, murderous chains around the lives of good Christians, then you're sorely wrong. Because Satan's fried bigger fish than you, friend. And if he can tear us down and enslave us to something else, he'll do it. That's why it's important to stay in the Holy Spirit. slavery to lust and pornography has left many pastors and teachers lying dead in its wake. Men and women whose lives would have been so very useful to God, wiped out by sins of the flesh. Slavery to the ideals of men rather than the precepts of God. Slavery to a relationship where they know every time they go back around that person, it drags them down. But they continue to go back and continue to go back. Slavery to financial spending. You know exactly what's going to happen when you write that check for that stuff you don't really need. But in order to make yourself feel good while you're packing that bag out the side of the store, you're going to sacrifice not being able to pay something else at the end of the month. You're going to sacrifice the turmoil that it's going to cause between you and your husband or you and your wife. And you're a slave to financial spending. You're a slave to the certain style of music in your church. Whenever that somebody decides to maybe change it for one Sunday and you find yourself enraged. Slavery to anything other than Christ Jesus is out of the will. Now I want to tell you a story. I want to share with you a great truth. Leviticus chapter 25, verses 47 through 50. Moses is given by the Holy Spirit one of the great laws that has to deal with slavery. That is called the law of the kinsman redeemer. Nowhere in the Bible is it more prevalent than it is in the book of Ruth. You'll remember that Ruth was far away, married a son of Naomi. The son died. Her and her mother-in-law had to come back. They found themselves impoverished, without any home, without any land, without anybody to take care of them, until a man named Boaz, who was the next of kin, he was the closest blood relation that decided to redeem Ruth. And he bought her back for a price. Listen to me right now. Whatever it is that you realize is enslaving you, whether it feels good or it's destroying you, either way it's something other than the Lord Jesus. Whatever it is that is enslaving you and entrapping you, I want you to know that you were bought for a price. I want you to know that you are not your own, that there's been a great blood price paid for you, and you don't have to any longer be slaves to sin. You don't have to be slaves to yourself. You don't have to be slaves to anything other. James said, I am a bond servant of Christ. Paul said, I am a prisoner for the sake of Jesus. You too can be set free. Free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty. You can be free at last. When you give up any other master besides the good one. There's only one good master, dear friends. And he was a man from Nazareth. A man from Galilee. By the name of Jesus. He paid for you. He is your kinsman redeemer. And His blood paid the price for your sins. So that you should no longer be slaves to sin. For we have been united together in the likeness of death. Certainly also we shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Will you pray with me? Father God, we thank You that You have set us free from sin. That, dear Father, by calling You Master and Lord today, we can be free from the things that attempt to drag us down. Father, I pray for those. I pray for our churches, dear God, in Hart County, in the surrounding counties. I pray that a great revival not worked up by men, not a date set us up on and decided by a group of men, but that a great revival of the Holy Spirit might enter into our churches. Let it come through the music. Let it come through the preaching. Let it come through a children. Let it come through the old people. Let it come, Lord, by whatever means You see fit. But, dear God, let it sweep across our county, our state, our nation in such a way that no man will be able to say it's been the work of any other man, but all of us will be sure to proclaim the greatness of a mighty God that is sovereign and that is in control of all things today. We thank You, dear Father, for Your compassion and Your grace and Your love. We ask You these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rowlett's Baptist Church.